Question to make before I start. The title of this chabura was actually a bit of more than a bit of harama. Although I will lean out to be dealing with the concept of Shema b'nei b'usar avicha versus what do you do if your father is wrong. My real intention here is to whet your appetite for Mishlei and show you how this cryptic sefer, which on its face seems like a very haphazard mumbo jumbo, is really, if you take the time and effort to analyze it, sheer genius. Hopefully we'll get to a few psukim that will display that. All right, so the first thing we're going to deal with is Shema b'nei b'usar avicha. It's a very famous pasuk in Mishlei. It's in Perek Aleph, pasuk Ches. It's really the first pasuk of the meat of Mishlei, because the first seven psukim are sort of introduction, as the Malbim explains. So it says, Shema b'nei b'usar avicha, listen, my son, to the discipline or the musar of your father. V'al titosh Torah simecha, don't refuse or ignore the Torah of your mother. So the question is, why should I listen to the musar of my father? What if your father is Bugs Moran, and he told you, listen, kid, the only way you can get through life is if you're ready to shoot people in cold blood. Am I supposed to listen still to the musar of my father?
Huh? It's not talking about that kind of father.
Oh, so what kind of father is it talking about?
Regular father.
A regular father. Okay. What?
Normal, you know.
Normal father. Okay. In Chicago, Bugs Moran could have been a normal father. But, you know. But, all right, so let's say your father says... What?
Don't talk Chicago. It's
fine. New York. Okay, New York. Oh, fine, perfect example. Let's say your father says, never smile at anyone on the street, or they'll think you're a mugger. Or you should smile at someone on the street, and you have the opposite opinion. And like in New York, that could be a matter of life and death. So what do you do? Do you listen? What is Shlomo HaMelech telling you here? Listen to your father. I mean, that seems to be what he's saying. Shema b'nei b'usar avicha, right? Or, you know, the Gemara tells us beferish that it says, kamis v'icha esimecha. But not if he tells you to do something usher. If your father says to be Melchal Shabbos, you're not allowed to. Not you shouldn't, it's usher. Right? And you could be put to death for doing that. So what is Shlomo Melech's message here? Shema b'nei b'usar avicha. So maybe you want to say, not a normal father, but when your father is giving you proper musar.
As an example, he's giving you musar.
Yeah.
It doesn't say tzivui avich or mitzvah sovi.
Oh, no, let's say he's giving...
When your father's instructing you in ethical issues.
Musar. Okay, so let's say your father is instructing you in ethical issues and tells you, you know, it's very important to be honest. You can't do it 100% of the time because, you know, you'll never make it. So, you know...
Do you listen?
So, do you listen? And that's, I think, a perfectly normal father. Would say something like that. So what is Shlomo Melech talking about here when he says Shema b'nei b'usar avicha? Right? So you might say Shema b'nei b'usar avicha is when your father is telling you musar it's proper. Okay, but who's determining if the musar is proper or not? Obviously, to make that determination, you have to first determine if what he's telling you is right. So in that case, you're not listening to your father, you're listening to you. So we're stuck again. What is Shlomo Melech's point here of Shema b'nei b'usar avicha? Does it really mean that you have to adhere to what your father tells you, even in the way of ethics, or that it's even recommended? Because I'm sure we can all think of many examples. Like, I'm sure no one experienced this here, but I have heard there are certain families when they tell their parents they're making aliyah, they're like ready to throw them out the window. So, you know, what does that mean? There is a pasuk in Bereishis, this is talking about Mechiras Yosef, where it says, Vayomer Yehuda Elachav, Yehuda is suggesting to his brothers, Ma betza ki naroga sechinu. What good will it be if we kill our brother? Chisinu estamo, and we cover up his blood. L'chu v'nim krenu l'yishmeilim, let's go sell him to the Yishmeilim. Excuse me, Yodenu al tihivo, and let not our hand take part in killing him. Ki achinu bisreinuhu vayishmeu achav. It says that vayishmeu achav, his brothers heard him. So Rashi on the pasuk says, what is vayishmeu achav? says v'kabilu minei, and he's quoting here the Targum Onkelos. V'kabilu minei, which means they accepted what he said and they agreed with it. We're going to do it. And then Rashi says v'chol shmiya shehu kabolas devorim, any shmiya, in other words, the word shomea can mean to hear, as in the physical hearing. And it could also mean to listen to, as to adhere to what the person tells you. Like, I'm going to listen to the policeman means, generally speaking, I'm going to do what he told me to do. Whereas if I hear music, I'm not listening to any command, I'm hearing it. Or if I hear people talking, right, I'm not necessarily adhering to what they say. So Rashi says when it's, what?
The Targum says, Kibel.
Right, the Targum says, V'kabilu minei. Whenever that, when it means that they're accepting it, to Kabbalah's Dvarim, Kigon Zeh, like here, or Vayishma Yaakov El Aviv, when Yaakov listens to Yitzchak, or Nasev and Ishma, all these Shmiyas means Shmiyah of acceptance, Miturgam Nikabel. So the Targum translates it, Nikabel. The word Nikabel to me will accept. V'choshi Shmiyas Ozen, and when it's strictly something means physically the ear hearing, but not necessarily accepting. Kigon vayishmu es kol Hashem es leich bagan, when it says Adam and Chava heard Hashem's ruach walking, or the Hashem's voice walking in the gan. Clearly, they weren't listening to him because they just didn't listen to him. That means they heard. The Rivka shomas, or Rivka hears what Esav said when he says he wants to kill Yaakov. Vayishma Yisrael. I'm not sure which one that one is referring to. So it says shomati. Estlunos, or when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying that I heard the complaints of Bnei Yisrael right before the Mon, Kulon Miturgam Vishamu Vishim Eis Vishma Shmiya Kadumai. Interestingly enough, the Targum Yonasa Ben Uziel in the Pasuk in Mishlei translates Shma Bni Shema Beri. It doesn't say Kabel. So Shlomo Melech apparently is not telling us here at all that we have to do what our father says. What he is actually saying is that we have to hear him out. And that makes sense even with someone like Bugsy Siegel or Bugs Moran. Because your father has your best interest at heart, as opposed to someone else. If another Russia tells you Musser, then many times you're not supposed to listen to him. But your father is someone who has your interest at heart, so at least hear what he has to say and analyze it and see, is it right or is it wrong? And if it's wrong, chuck it. But if it's right, then you have to adhere to it. The point being that, and before I should say this part, that the natural instinct with a father is to be connected, whereas with a mother, she has you much more in her favor. Which is why it says Shema Bini Musar V'icha, proactively hear what your father says, and by the mother it just says Al Titos, don't let it go in one ear and out the other, because we're not worried about it going in one ear, we're just worried about it not going out the other. So the point here being that Shlomo Melech is telling us, he's not telling us necessarily listen to your father and do what he says, but at least hear him out, because you are going to get advice from him and he's doing it for your benefit. Okay, this is one example of where Shlomo Melech uses very specific lashonos in order to convey a message. And throughout Mishlei, really, he does this. If you read Mishlei, it looks like he picked the wrong words all the time. But the truth is, he's picking the right words. And he's doing it by design in order to force you, not really force you, because Mishlei is a multi-level sefer. You can get messages on many different levels. If you stay with the superficial level, it will look like he is extremely redundant and he says the same thing over and over and over and over again, when the fact is he never ever once repeats himself. He may say the same words, the same exact pasuk, twice in two different places, but they will mean two different things. Totally different depending on the context. Another example, okay, that we, any questions on that part? Okay, this is my favorite pasuk Mishlei, because this shows how Shlomo Melech truly was way ahead of his time. I mean, it's just like amazing to me. It says, "Al tehi chacham bein." It's two pesukim together. "Al tehi chacham beinecha." Don't be a chacham in your own eyes. "Yira es Hashem." Fear God. "V'sur meira." And go away from evil. Turn away from evil. And the next pasuk is, "Rifus Tehila Sharecha. Now this word refus, Reish Pei Aleph Vav Saf, is a very strange construction of the word refua. In fact, I'm not even sure if it repeats itself somewhere else. It might, but it's very unusual. But it has to do with healing, something to do with refua. So let's just translate, most of the Mefarshim here, translate it like refua. Refus Tehila Sharecha, it will be a healing. Sharecha refers to the umbilical area, usually the belly button or something to do with that. They bring down from the Pasuk from Shir Hashirim, Sharecha Ganasar. It connotes, according to the Mefarshim here, some kind of source of nutrition. Because I guess when you're in utero, that's where the nutrition comes from. And it will be marrow for your bones. Okay? So this concept of Yiroas Hashem, Visur Meirah, it will be refuah, it will heal your umbilicus, we'll call it, and Shikulat Masecha, and it will be marrow for your bones. So I looked at this pasuk and I said, what does my belly button have to do with my bone marrow? Why is Shlomo Melech putting these together, and what's his point? What is he trying to communicate here? And you know, clearly the Mefarshim are trying to explain this, but it sort of leaves you wondering what's going on here. And I think I have a very good shot, not because I'm so brilliant, because if it were 50 years ago, I could have never given you this shot, which is why none of the Mefarshim could have. Now, it's kemat obvious. Do you know what the umbilical cord has in common with bone marrow?
Stem cells.
Exactly. It's the two primary sources of stem cells. Is there anyone here that does not know what stem cells are?
I'll take one for the team.
Okay. Stem cells are sort of these slug cells that can morph into any other kind of cell, and they're used for therapies in certain diseases like leukemia or other things to replace cells that have been damaged. And there's I discovered in researching this that there's a very interesting process that happens. What they do in order to implement the healing powers of the stem cells is first they clear out the bad cells and then they put in the good cells. The word refus here, I don't think means refuah. It doesn't. In other words, it doesn't mean that it's going to heal the umbilical cord and it's going to heal the bones. Rather, that the umbilical cord and the bones have healing power. Refus tehila sharecha. If you do this, Yiroas Hashem esur meira, then you will enable by al derech mashal the stem cells in the umbilical cord and in the in the bone marrow to have healing powers, because first you have to be sur meira, and this is all al derech mashal in the spiritual sense. If you're trying to do tshuva, you also have to first be sur meira to allow the positive acts that you're going to do to really take effect. Otherwise, it's like tovel sheres biyado. So what Shlomo Melech is telling us here, I think, refus tehila sharecha, there will be healing powers for your umbilical cord. The shikoi atzmosecha actually has a double meaning here, that also healing powers for your bone marrow, and healing powers for your umbilical cord, that it will have effect on your bone marrow. Because that's one of the things they do with stem cells, is they take out the bone marrow that's bad, and they put in the bone marrow that's good. Absolutely stunning. I mean, I thought this was just... What other shot are you going to give this? You're looking puzzled.
I'm trying to get the, in other words, the initial down. Because I mean, who's he talking to when he says refus l'sharecha? He say to the person sur meira.
To the person who needs to be sur meira.
It will be, but why does he say it's like healing? Why is he putting it in terms of the person?
Because.
The umbilicus doesn't have any healing powers.
No, it does.
No, not today. Ours?
The stem cell. No, the umbilical cord that you got detached from you. That's what he's talking about.
He's talking to the person who's trying to be a mashal to Suri Rav.
What?
He's talking to the person who's trying. In other words, he's saying, "Rafus hi lisharecha to your." Like, so how, what's the nivshal mashal?
It could have been my umbilical cord. They separated from me at birth and kept it in a freezer like they do today.
Okay.
I told you he's out of his time. Okay. So it's just like amazing to me that you have these two things in the pasuk that seemingly have nothing to do with each other, yet the one thing they have in common is something we only recently discovered.
Malach is saying that person who's Sormei Ran has Hashem will get these healing things?
Or no, he's saying just like the healing process for these things, right? Like the Malach says in the beginning, everything in Mishlei, the Mashal is accurate and the Nimshal is accurate. So he's teaching you, and he's teaching you both. He's teaching you both the Mashal and the Nimshal. So he's saying just like this, process is you have to first get rid of the bad, Surmei Ra, and then you can inject the good and it will have its desired effect. So too, when you are trying to be Ovid Hashem, you have to be Surmei Ra and then Asei Tov. Or else, you risk that the Tov is going to be infected by the bad. Did I say something medically incorrect? Tell me, because I don't know. I'm just going off
they
the internet.
They cover that in dental school.
Huh?
They cover that in dental school.
Okay. All right. The last thing I want to just mention here is in Perek Yud. This is very interesting, and all the Mefarshim, I sort of have a hard time with this, and it's very hard to understand. The first pasuk in Mishlei is Mishlei Shlomo ben David Melech Yisrael, which the Malbim explains as part of his introduction. This is Mishlei, which is written by Shlomo ben David, the king of Israel. So now he tells us what he's going to be writing here, right? Perek Yud starts out a very interesting way. Mishlei Shlomo ben Chacham Yisamechav uben Ksil Tugasimo. It says, this is the Sefer Mishlei that was written, this is the Sefer Mishlei written by Shlomo. A son who is a Chacham will make his father happy, and a son who is a fool is the consternation of his mother. Hello, we knew this was Mishlei already for the last 9 prakim. What are you trying to tell us now? And so they all try to explain why this is like a new sefer, and he's going off on a different tangent now. Everybody tries to deal with it, and I try to deal with it too. But one of the more peculiar things is he starts off here, at least the whole pasuk is an introduction in the beginning. Here he starts off Mishlei Shlomo, Bein Chacham Yisamachav, he starts right off in the Mishlei in the same pasuk. It says Mishlei Shlomo, not even an Esnachta, Bein Chacham Yisamachav, Bein Ksil, Tugasimah.
Is that so, talking about
himself? Well, hold on a second. This is an example of where he's inconsistent and he seems like he doesn't know Dikduk. In the first half of the pasuk, he says Bein Chacham Yisamachav, which is generic. And then he says Bein Ksil Tugas Imo, which is possessive. You know, the first one is a father, and this is his mother. Why? Why is he doing that? And you find these many times in Mishlei, that you have not only this, you can have an inconsistency between plural and singular, Zachar and Akeva. And many of the Mefarshim just totally ignore it. I really don't understand why. But I think each one is driven to draw you to a certain conclusion. So if you know something about Shlomo HaMelech, he had a very unique relationship with his mother. It was unlike really any other. If you remember the story of there was a competition, maybe you really can't call it a competition, but Adonia, who was the oldest son of fourth son of David HaMelech. Right, Amnon was the oldest, right? Right, Amnon, and he was done away with by the Shulchan. Right. So Adonijah wanted to usurp the throne, and he actually got a lot of people, a lot of very powerful people behind him. And Shlomo HaMelech, or you have the whole thing with Nasan and Avi, that walks into David HaMelech with Bathsheba, or right afterwards, and you have this whole dramatic scene where David HaMelech says, you know, he's going to swear Shlomo HaMelech is going to be the king this day, and they go down and make him king, and everybody who's at that party with Adonijah gets up and runs away because they're all scared out of their pants. So what happens here is Adonia, and his machlokas exactly what his motivations were, whether they were political or romantic. On the face, it seems political. Certainly, Shlomo Melech took it like that. But Adonia asks for the hand of Avishag HaShunamis in marriage. Avishag HaShunamis served David HaMelech when he was alive to keep him warm. She did not have a din of his wife. She didn't even have a din of a Pilegesh, so she was mutter to Adonia, technically. And he approaches Bathsheba, I don't know why, but he does, to ask Shlomo Melech for Avishag's hand in marriage.
Wasn't she also forever at this, that she was after that? After being with David?
No. No. Because she didn't really, she wasn't, she never had a relationship with him.
I thought she broke down
this. What?
Okay, fine.
It was also for him, because he would have to divorce one wife in order to marry her. He wouldn't necessarily have to divorce a wife in order to live with her, but whatever. That's the opinion I saw, at least. Okay? But the fact is, Adonia did ask for hand in marriage. And the objection to it was not halachic, as you'll see in a minute. Bathsheba agrees, and she goes into Shlomo Melech, and Shlomo Melech stands up, bows down to his mother, puts a seat right next to the throne, treats her with the greatest of honor, and it's like the epitome of kibbutz. And she says, "I would like to ask you a favor." She says, "Please ask me, my mother. I won't turn you away empty-handed." And then she proceeds to ask him if Adonio can have Avishag's hand in marriage, and he turns to her and he says, "Why don't you just give him the throne also at the same time?" Which is like schizophrenic. Here he was just bowing down to his mother, and now he gives this snide, sarcastic remark. I mean, why didn't he say, "You know, Mom, I'm sorry, but maybe you should reconsider the question. It's not really the smartest thing in the world." And the truth is, if Adonia took over, his mother would have been killed too, because that's what almost happened to them when he tried to do it the first time. So what's going on here? This mama should split personality. If you read the psukim there, I think it's in the beginning of Malachim, it's just like you take this person who was the epitome of kibud avim, and then he talks to his mother like she's a traitor. So the truth is, Shlomo Melech had two roles here. He was both a son, but he was also a melech. A melech shemachal al kvodo in kvodo machal. When it came to personal matters, Shlomo Melech treated his mother with the highest regard. But when it came to something that was nogea to the malchus, he could not do that. He had to treat her like anyone else, and this was mamish a threat to the malchus. An existential threat. And so Shlomo HaMelech was constantly walking on this very tightrope. He had to maintain both personalities at the same time. So that's why it says here, I think, Mishlei Shlomo Ben Chacham Yisam Achav, his father, David HaMelech, didn't have to be his father. Any father would be proud and have nachas from the son that's smart. However, Ben Kasil Tugas Imo, a son that ends up being a fool, is Tugas Imo, is the consternation of his mother, because his mother now is being treated in two different ways by Shlomo HaMelech, and if he slips up and he really does do something foolish that's bad, then it's going to really hurt his mother. So, and in fact, what he's about to talk here in the following sukkim about in the following sukkim are realities that are exactly opposite to the way they seem. In other words, we have a perception, this is reality, and he's going to explain to us, no, you have it all wrong. That's a facade, and reality is just the other way. Okay, so if I whetted your appetite enough, maybe you'll request to share initially.
Thank you. Good.